Hi, welcome back to Winged and Ready. I am Diane Johnston. I'm a financial advisor at UBS in our Jericho office. I can be reached at 516-745-8964. Today, I have a very special guest sitting with me in our studios here in New York City, Soraya Friedman Gonzalez. She is not affiliated with UBS, and her opinions are her own, but they're amazing opinions, and I can't wait for her to share them with us. Soraya is the CEO of BSA. Many of us might wonder, what is BSA? Well, it stands for Boy Scouts of America, and she's the CEO of the Greater New York City Council. So Soraya, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what brought you to BSA and scouting? Feel free to correct if I botched the title.
No, you did a great job. Our local chapter is Greater New York Councils. We are part of New York City Scouting, and we are the local chapter of the Boy Scouts of America, so I think you got it perfectly. And we represent the five boroughs of New York City. We are an organization that at this time takes in all genders, which is partially why we kind of go by BSA.
Yeah.
And about myself, so I have been with the organization as their CEO. It's been about a year and a half. I am the first CEO that's been hired that didn't kind of move through scouting professionally over the years. I wasn't considered an outside hire. And my background is in youth development work. I have led youth development work for other nonprofits in the city. And they were looking, when they were hiring, to find somebody who had nonprofit management experience with passion for young people. And so I was very excited about joining the Greater New York Councils.
That's amazing. And you said BSA now because it represents all genders. What's the breakout?
So it really varies council by council. In New York City, we're probably in top three in terms of having the most female membership. And we're also the most diverse council. I think we're in the number one spot across the country. Our council is different in that regard, in that we have a high percentage of female youth in our program, and also we are considered one of the most diverse councils in America, which is we're very proud of.
Typically, when people think of Boy Scouts, they think of something that's suburban. They think of something that might be associated with costs for equipment and camping. How are you debunking that, and how are you taking BSA forward in a new direction?
You know, for us, one of the sort of core scouting values is really making sure that cost is not a barrier to entry. And 70% of the scouts in our program receive some type of financial support. We do a lot of fundraising in terms of special events. We are continually applying for foundation support and major donor support. And with that support, we are able to provide camperships, is what we call them, but they're really scholarships for young people to be able to attend camp and be a part of our programming.
And what is attending camp do for a young person?
I mean, it does a lot of different things. I think when you talk about an urban environment, and New York City is, I think, one of the only purely urban councils. In other words, there are councils in urban cities. However, their footprint also covers suburban parts of that jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And we are completely urban, which makes our work very, very different. And there's an opportunity there in that many of our young people, their ability to go away for a weekend camping trip or spend a week or 2 weeks at one of our three properties, it may be the only time they or their caregiver gets to be out of the city and in nature. So that's an incredible opportunity. Also, because we are very unique in terms of our programming, the curriculum really covers beyond just camping. There's a whole bunch of other material that we cover. So you don't have to only love camping to be part of Scouts. We do a whole bunch of STEM work with the youth in our program. And so there's this wonderful opportunity to really offer pretty wide-ranging interests and really engage young people, which is great.
Yeah. How many scouts do you have in the greater New York City Council?
We currently have short of 9,000 young people.
Wow.
But for us, that's low. There was a time where we were triple that number.
Wow.
And so I think COVID was really hard. And I think today there's a lot of incredible programs that young people can partake in. So there's more competition in terms of trying to grab young people's attention. But we have 8,000 young people. We are always interested, especially given how much technology is in kids' lives. We really want to engage more young people in our program.
Right. You said grabbing their attention, but if you're with BSA, doesn't mean you have to give up everything else, right?
Absolutely not. That is a very common misconception. In fact, I think when you ask many of our scout leaders, what they're going to tell you is kids having lots of interests is great, and scouting can be folded into kids' other interests. So we have a number of young people that are on sports teams and clubs and school teams. And so the program operates in that you join a unit if you're in a volunteer-led program, and that unit will typically meet one day a week. And you'll go camping often once a month with that unit, and you'll probably do summer camp with that unit. However, it's so flexible that if a young person couldn't come every week, let's say, because they're in the fall taking sports and they're part of the baseball team or a soccer team, that's okay. They can stay in touch, keep on track of what their troop and patrol is covering. And then when they're done, they can kind of move back in. There's a lot of opportunity also because the curriculum is so standard that kids can cover work on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our material is online now, which is great.
That was very fluid.
Yeah.
And it teaches independence, which
absolutely.
Is
I mean, we are a youth-led organization. That is the purpose of the program. The youth, when the program is operating in a functioning environment, the young people are in leadership positions, and they're really leading their peers to develop a camping trip or a summer camp trip. They're supposed to take on leadership positions, especially as they move into Scouts BSA, which is the program for middle and high school students.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we've covered a couple of things that might be misconceptions for scouting. Can you dig in a little bit more around the brand of scouting and its perception and where it might be misunderstood?
Scouting is about community. And I think often, depending on how large or small that community is, people will often associate scouting with whatever community they may have seen it in. And in a city like New York City, that's so diverse, and within a borough, you have so many different communities, what we really try to communicate is that really, scouting in New York City is very, very diverse. It is not necessarily the depiction of what's in a Norman Rockwell painting, which
right.
I think there's a lot of images out there that maybe represent what scouting might look like somewhere else or through a painting. And in New York City, it looks very different, in part because we're operating often in concrete. It's a very, it's, you know, there are certainly grass in parts of New York City where you might have a backyard, but in general, we're operating in the footprint of New York City. So it looks very, very different.
I keep thinking about scouting and that Norman Rockwell picture that you verbally painted for us, the importance of what it does for New York City.
Yeah.
In your view and in your experience and what you're seeing, how does scouting help New York City? What's the impact?
Well, I think one of the unique aspects of scouting is that it covers civic engagement, which you don't see a lot of, and there's a lot of emphasis on service learning projects. And so there is a culture in scouting, and it's part of the scout law, where you're really trying to emphasize values like kindness and being friendly and being helpful. And I think by constantly repeating those adjectives or those words over and over again, it becomes a part of the fabric of every young person. They start to realize those words, and there's something to be said about that. It's sometimes when you're a little kid and someone might, you may not believe something about yourself, people always say, remind yourself that you are smart and you do matter. And maybe a child at the beginning won't believe that, but if they say it enough and enough, they may start to believe it. And I think there's something about the program where you're really focusing on these positive attributes that you really want all people to have. And it's very much throughout the program. We often say that's not scouting behavior when you act just, you know, like that. And so we really try to teach that. But also there's a heavy emphasis on giving back. That's a big part of the program. Outside of that, there's a lot of really great life skills. You learn about first aid and CPR and how to tie a knot and why tying a knot might be life-saving. Mm. And so there's a huge emphasis on life skills and being able to build a fire and apply a tourniquet if somebody's bleeding. And I don't know a lot of programs that has that combined with civic engagement and community service and giving back and teaching kids about important values to have in their lives. But then in addition, there's a huge emphasis on sort of skills building and learning through our merit badge system, but learning about astronomy and about construction and about swimming. I mean, in New York City, there are so many kids that never learn to swim. You must learn to swim to kind of become an Eagle Scout's core. So we're teaching kids all of these holistic components, and it's part of it. And it's very wide ranging. So it's a really holistic program. And then the advancement component, you feel achievement. It's kind of like martial arts. You move up, and everybody moves up at their own time. You just got to do it before you're 18 to be Eagle Scout.
Yeah, that's incredible. Not only is there civic engagement and building independence and self-confidence, but I hear a lot of empathy.
Yes.
And a lot of community.
Yep.
Which is important no matter where you live.
Absolutely.
And swimming, when we're surrounded by water,
is
incredibly important too.
Yeah, a lot of kids drown every year, and I think it's a huge part of the program. And learning other kind of water-related sports is a big part, especially if you go to summer camp. And then just the experience of enjoying nature. I mean, that's many of the weekend camping piece and summer camping piece. You get to put all of those skills into action, and you work as a team. And that's the other thing, is young people, when you're part of a pack or a troop, you then also are part of what's called a patrol, where you're with kids that are within 2 years of your age, and you're working together towards something, whether it's putting up your tent or working together to put up multiple tents or trying to filter the water because you're camping. But there's a lot of team and community and network that you're building around. There's also mentorship, because our program relies on volunteers, caregivers, to come in and support the young people. And they often cover a wide ground and teach kids as well. So there's a lot that is part of the program. And I just think the outcomes in terms of when we've been evaluated by third party evaluators, they really come out and say all of this also helps our kids do better in school academically.
At a time when that's so incredibly important. You'd mentioned COVID earlier.
Yep.
But getting kids back on track and making sure their learning is on speed and making the milestones that they need to make to progress.
Yep.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about where scouting is. How you said the number of scouts in the thousands, even though high, just under 10,000, lower than what it normally is. How many units are there, for perspective, in the
There's over 400 units,
wow,
which is 400 separate programs. But the other thing that I want to share is that scouting in New York, there are really three distinct programs that we operate. I've been talking a lot about our volunteer-led programs, where you have adults that kind of help us operate the program, volunteers, and they're instrumental. We also have two other programs that make up a large part of our composition in New York City. We operate a program called Scout Reach. It covers, we operate it in 14 New York City public schools that are receiving Title I funding, and we operate it as an after-school program. We have about 1,400 young people that are part of that 8,000 that are learning about scouting, but after school. Those young people do weekly meetings, just like the other volunteer-led scouts that are in that program. And they also get to do weekend camping and a week at summer camp, and it's for elementary school kids. And so in that program, we actually hire paid program specialists to operate the program in lieu of having parents, because it's after school. And then the third program that we operate is our Explorers program. And that program covers 14 to 20-year-olds. And that's really all about careers. Mm. We have an incredible program with the police department, the NYPD. That is called our Law Enforcement Exploring Program. And while we have an incredible partnership with law enforcement and NYPD, many of our kids go on and work at the FBI or Homeland Security, and that's really geared towards middle and high school age kids. And then apart from that, we also operate what we call a career or business exploring program. Again, we get referrals through middle and high school guidance counselors, but that program is really around just exposing young people to careers. And so that altogether makes up the 8,000 kids that we serve, and it's part of the 400 different units that I was speaking about.
That's incredible. So if I'm doing some quick math, it sounds like a good majority is not only volunteer-led, but it's helping after-school programs and 14 Title I schools.
Yep.
I think earlier in a conversation you told me that there were roughly 1,000 in the Explorer program. Mm-hmm. So that's a trajectory to put somebody on a life path.
Absolutely.
Not just skill building.
Yep.
And then the career-based program. So what other careers are they looking at besides law enforcement?
So we have posts, what we call them. They're doing finance. They're doing, so in our career-based, we have finance partners. And so we rely heavily on private employers or public employers that are willing to kind of set up a post for a young person. And so we have many posts in the DA's office. We work in healthcare. We work in architecture firms. We have a great post about near LaGuardia Airport. So it really covers the gamut. We really try to have as many posts as we can to expose kids to different sectors, but also careers within that sector. And that may be maybe the only kind of real career exposure, because many kids, you only know what your parents do or your family do, but through that program, they could spend a year visiting with 6-7 different employers and learn a whole bunch about opportunities.
And how are those, who's a good referral for you to get those opportunities going? How does that come in?
How do we meet employers? Well, a lot of it is people somehow word of mouth, like they know someone has either knows someone and says, oh, I got a friend and he works at such and such. Why don't you talk to him about a post? Or often it's, you know, former Boy Scouts that kind of know that we operate the program. So it really varies. And some of it is just our staff professional outreaching and trying to proactively find posts. But we're always looking for new posts. Yeah. So given how many kids there are in New York City, we're always looking for new, and we'd love more posts in technology. The finance ones are always big hits among the kids, so technology, music. I mean, you name it, the kids are very interested. If there are people that want to give back and they're in positions where they could open up the door, we try to do them in person because we think those are more meaningful. But sometimes firms, maybe because of health reasons and COVID, we've also adapted, and sometimes we'll do the work online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I imagine guidance counselors are aware of these programs.
Yes, we have, you know, that's we are meeting constantly with schools and guidance counselors. But if there's a guidance counselor listening to this podcast, they should absolutely reach out to us, because we're always, you know, trying to get new referrals and develop relationships with schools that we're not in, because we are not in every school in New York City, that's for sure.
Yeah. You also touched on a program that I thought was, or a PAC rather, that I thought was very inspiring, that the council is doing. Can you talk a little bit about PAC 1910?
Absolutely. PAC 1910 operates a similar in structure to our Scout Reach program in that we have paid volunteers. The big difference is that where there is a need, we really try to step in. And as we all know, New York City, there was a huge influx of families coming from out of the country here. There was a crisis in New York City in terms of being able to provide services. And so we applied for a grant to offer scouting to families that are, most of them are coming through Spanish-speaking countries in Central America and South America. That's the majority of the families in these shelters. And so we stood up a PAC in the Watson Hotel, where we are there weekly offering scouting to the programs. We've had to adapt it a bit, but it's taught entirely in Spanish, and we are trying to provide really great programming to kids that are really happy to receive it. The kids that attend are very engaged, and many of them are looking at some of the camping videos and saying, wow, I want to go to camp. So I think it's a real escape for them, and I think it's been kind of a respite from day-to-day life.
And how old are the children in the PAC 1910?
So in PAC 1910, focusing on elementary school kids, so the kids could be anywhere from 6 up to about 9 or 10, so they are more in what we call the Cub PAC age, mm-hmm. so 1st to 5th grade in school.
Okay. Yep. It's really incredible. You've covered so much when you think about conversations that people have socially or even what's in the news coverage, issues that we're facing in New York City from the migrant difficulties that the city has been encountering, NYPD and interacting with NYPD, making sure that youth are career ready and on a track to continue their education so that they can be career ready. And then emotional skills, empathy, and a love for humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, BSA is covering all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you asked a question at the beginning, you know, what's most surprising or unexpected? I think many people don't know that we do all of that work. They have this image, again, that scouting is about the uniform and, you know, in the suburbs. And our work in New York City at the Greater New York Councils is really, it's holistic and wide-ranging. And I'll say one more thing that's really, really incredible about our program, which I don't think there are many programs like this in New York City. We talked about the diversity of our programs and sort of who makes up the kids and the families that we serve. But there's also a pretty wide-ranging socioeconomic kind of background. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the few programs where you're not only having a diverse group of young people, but you could have, you know, kids from all different kinds of backgrounds all together in a single unit and troop, all brought together by scouting and love for scouting. And when you go to camp, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's really wonderful that kids are exposed to true New York City and sort of what makes New York City such a special place. And I feel really proud of that, and that the kids, you really see, you have everyday, you know, quarrels among kids, but the kids are really in it together, and there's a real camaraderie and pride that the kids feel about being part of scouting in New York City. And that is regardless of where the kid comes from. It's probably, in that regard, I think we accomplished that really well. And I don't know that there's a lot of programs that can bring such a diverse group of kids together, and they're happy and kind of thriving. And it's, I say that, I mean, of course, every program has the day-to-day stuff, but by and large, that's sort of the work that is kind of what scouting is. And I feel very proud of that.
Yeah, that's incredible. All 5 boroughs, 400 units, children from ages 6 up through 20, socioeconomic arc, all coming together, developing. It's really a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thank you.
If there's anything you would really want the listeners to pull out of this conversation or a point that maybe you haven't had, what would you want to bring forward to the listeners?
That everybody, if you know a young person that's in elementary, middle, or high school, and they seem either isolated or a bit lost, reach out, find a pack or a troop, and try it out for a day and see if something lights up in their eyes. Because I do believe that we have a lot of isolation and depression in kids. And I think this is a wonderful, you could stop in and try it out. And if your kid likes it, they may find their best friends. And that may be one of the only places where they have friends. So that's my shout out, is just try it, give it a shot. And we'd love to see more families engage in scouting.
And how do they find you? What is the best route to find?
So they can go to our website, which is www.newyorkcityscouting.org. And that's NYC Scouting, SCOUTING.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shirai. This was such a powerful conversation. I get just tingly knowing all the wonderful things that are happening in New York City. And it's so beautiful to hear positive things happening in today's world and all the news that we're burdened with every day. So thank you for all the efforts you're doing in building out all of these units and the ability to serve thousands and thousands of youth. That's really powerful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Diane. It's been great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.